Well, good morning again. I'm Carlton Harris, and have the privilege of serving as pastor here. I missed you last Sunday. My wife and I were with our kids who live in Florida in church with them, and we were 3 hours ahead of you, so we were done with church before you ever started. We had already eaten lunch by the time you started, but it's great to be back. The month of May at College Avenue is a month of sermons about the Psalms. And last Sunday, Dr. Arnell Motz from Bethel Seminary across the street opened Psalm 16, sort of as an introductory psalm. It's a psalm of celebration and a psalm of praise. And starting today and for the rest of the month, Pastor Bryce and I will be leading you in looking at four other psalms that are favorites of worshipers in ancient Israel as they would go to worship God in the temple. And so as we preach these four sermons for the rest of the month, it is our desire that you will be encouraged as a people of God to love God more deeply, to trust Him more fully, because music like the psalms that we'll be looking at is just like Spotify. It's all the music that you will ever need. And so I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me, please, to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. It's found on page 429 of the Bibles in the pews, page 429, Psalm 121. And we're going to look at that psalm today. I'm going to begin by reading it to you, and then I'm going to explain to you what's going on here. Psalm 121, page 429. Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. So the first thing you see in the psalm is this statement, Song of Ascents. That's the heading. The same heading covers every psalm, 15 of them, starting with Psalm 120 and going to Psalm 134. So if you were to flip through your Bible and look at Psalm 120, a Song of Ascents, Psalm 121, 122, 123, 124, a song of ascents of David. 125, 126, 127, a song of ascents of Solomon. 128, 129, 130, 131, another one of David. 132, 133, another of David. 134, a song of ascent. These songs of ascent tell the story of worshipers in ancient Israel on their journey together, on their way back home to Jerusalem to worship God at the temple in Jerusalem. And so to help feel and understand what this is like for these ancient worshipers, think of an experience in your life when you feel connected with others and you feel united with them in purpose or in joy or in sorrow. And so to help you with this, I want you to pause and feel with me now how this image generates excitement. So who knows what this is? Is anyone? It's not the earth. What do you think it is? Times Square ball. How many of you knew that? How many of you didn't know it? Okay, you know it now. That ball, the sight of it, generates excitement and a sense of togetherness as About 1 million people each year jam into Times Square on Christmas Eve and count down. 10, 9, 8. And then, you know, before you know it, the ball drops. And everyone's there and they're singing together and they're wearing all kinds of festive garb, and they're kissing and they're doing all kinds of stuff. While we were in Florida last week visiting our kids, we went to a baseball game, unlike any baseball game I've ever been to, because of where it was played and how many people were there. I want you to pause with me now and feel the unity of the 10,000 of us, which was the announced attendance. It was a bizarre game because the Baltimore Orioles were in town playing the Tampa Rays, but Tampa was the visiting team and Baltimore was the home team because of the riots in Baltimore. So it was just a bizarre night. And the tickets were very cheap and they were general admission, so you could just get there and sit wherever you want. So we got there early and you can see how crowded things are around us. We had to push and shove to get seats on the front row down the right field line. But anyway, at the start of the game, we stood to do something that happens at every game in this country. We stood to sing the national anthem. And gentlemen took their hats off. Those who are active military, retired military, some saluted. The rest of us put our hands over our hearts, and we sang. And it created a sense of togetherness and unity for the few of us who were there. Then, something else happened that generated a sense of togetherness and unity. In the middle of the seventh inning, we stood to sing this song. I don't know why you're laughing. I think I know why. So let me root, root, root. Where I'm from, we sing for the Cardinals. But I put in Padres. Some places they sing root for the home team. And so we stood together and we sang that song, and some people were swaying back and forth and like really, really getting into the moment of unity. You know, it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Let me show you another photo that I think will help capture the sense of a psalm of ascent. Who knows what this is? I figure one or two of you might. Do you feel the unity of purpose that is evident in this scene from the student section, also known as the show, at Viejas Arena? How many of you have ever sat there? How many of you have, how can I ask this, participated in the unifying experience fully? Okay, I'll ask it that way. That kind of emotion for the Jewish pilgrims as they headed to Jerusalem, singing these Psalms of Ascent. Well, let's feel some other emotion now. Feel the unity in sorrow as the family and friends of Major General Harold Green make their way to Arlington National Cemetery last August. He was killed last August in Afghanistan, as the highest ranking military officer to die in the line of duty since the Vietnam War. His wife is in the middle of the photo and she's saluting him because she's a retired colonel who taught for several years at the Army War College. His son is a first lieutenant and he's also central in the photograph. But here they drew his body on a horse-drawn carriage toward its final resting place, and this cluster of people, this crowd of people, his family, his friends, those who served with him, are following his body to its final resting place. A funeral procession, the student cheering section at the arena a half mile up the road, a baseball crowd singing the national anthem together and singing, "Take me out to the ball game," the drop of a New Year's ball. In each of these situations, everyone joins together in gestures, in prayers sometimes, in song, And it bonds them together. It bonds us together. It unites us in a common purpose, and it expands the meaning of the moment beyond a personal, individual experience of joy or sorrow, because all of these experiences make people feel united. That's what a psalm of ascent is all about. They are a unique collection of songs, shorter than the average psalms, but each of the psalms of ascent has a distinctive and unique feel to it. The psalms of ascent are sung by pilgrims as they climb the road and they go up to Jerusalem, and they climb an elevation as they go there to celebrate and worship God. Listen to the instruction, or I will project it for you. Read the instruction as I read it to you from Deuteronomy regarding this. Three times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of weeks, the festival of the tabernacles. No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. God is calling his people to be generous people and to remember that all that they have comes from the generous, kind hand of God. The festivals in Israel's annual worship cycle are times for the people to come to Jerusalem, to come to the temple, to praise the Lord for the abundance of the crop harvests and the flocks. And the festivals also provide opportunities to remember important events in their history. The festivals are part of a joyous worship experience. It's very joyful, but it's also known for its reverence. You can have a crazy, crazy, delightful joy, and at one and the same time, enjoy reverence before God. So it's part worship service, it's part family reunion, it's part banquet. And so the three festivals, the three annual pilgrimages that it mentions are, first of all, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, also called the Feast of the First Fruits or Passover. We just celebrated that. And some of you were here with us on Maundy Thursday as we had a Jews for Jesus missionary come and walk us through Christ and the Passover. It's the festival of deliverance from bondage to Egypt. And so the people make flat bread and they take a break from work, and they also present an offering to God. The second annual pilgrimage is harvest, or also known as weeks. It happens in early summer. And the celebration of the harvest of wheat and the ripening of the first fruit of the land, and also remembers the giving of the law and the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And these people bring two loaves of bread to worship with them and two male lambs as an expression of gratitude to God for his kindness and his provision. And then the third annual pilgrimage is that of ingathering or tabernacles. It happens in the fall, in the harvest festival of summer crops and fruits, which would take place in the fall. This celebrates the final harvest of the year, and it's the greatest worship celebration of all the festivals. It's also known as the Feast of Booths, because the people built little booths out of branches and out of palm leaves, and they live in them. And the purpose of living in them on this extended camping trip is to remind them, as they live in these booths or tents, that their ancestors lived this way during all their years in the wilderness while they were wandering around. And during this festival, worshipers came to praise God for the harvest and to present a thank offerings to God. They also pray for rain. We can relate to that in our state. Some states around this country have more rain than they know what to do with. And here we are just bone dry, but we offer God hearts of gratitude and thanks for the rain that we received earlier this weekend. So they would pray for rain. They would also renew their covenant with God, something that we do the first Sunday of each month. You did it here last Sunday. I did it in the church I was worshiping in last Sunday, where we come to the Lord's table to remember and renew our covenant relationship with God during the worship service. And for them, it included the reading of the law of Moses and responding to the reading of the law of Moses by promising to fulfill their religious obligations. It's also told to us in Jewish history that it's quite likely that later in Jewish history, a few years later, that the Levites would read or sing these songs of ascent as they would stand on the stairs outside of the temple. There were 15 stairs, there are 15 Psalms of ascent, and so they would stand and sing Psalms like the one before us today, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Or turn the page, for example, Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity, in the unity of worship. So they would stand there and sing that. Or Psalm 134, the next one, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Can you do that with me? Just lift up your hand. It's okay. Lift it. Hold it up. How's that feel? Okay, you can put them down. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary as an expression of worship is what the psalm says. And praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, which is another name for Jerusalem. He who is the maker of heaven and earth. Sounds like our psalm for the morning, Psalm 121. The Psalms of Ascent were written long ago by people living in a time and a place that was very different from ours, yet they express emotions that we all feel, which makes them helpful on our journey through life. So imagine this with me. Imagine it's Sunday morning, and there's a group of people headed south from the north on College Avenue, from the university this direction. And so it starts out with two or three people, and then it becomes five or six, and then seven or eight, and nine and 10, and 30 and 40 and 50. And before you know it, there's this mass of us walking up College Avenue, because it's literally coming up to come up here. We're walking up College Avenue to come to worship together. And as we come, some of you are walking with canes and some of you are walking with walkers. And some of you are pushing your babies in baby strollers and some of you are wearing baby carriers. And some of you are holding your kids' hands and some of you are holding your grandkids' hands. And we're singing our songs. And our singing is full of emotion as we sing, how great thou art, and our God, and oh great God. As we sing the words of Psalm 121, we sing from our hearts as we make our way up College Avenue to come to this place to worship our great God. That's what's happening. And so verse 1 of Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains as they approach Jerusalem to worship God. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 121 is sung by worshipers on their way to worship, and the worshipers declare to each other as they travel together that they trust God no matter what happens to them in life. They will trust Him no matter what happens. This song will give you strength and courage and hope on your journey in a spiritual hostile world, even if it leads you through an earthquake like the recent one in Nepal, or even if it leads you through a terrorist attack like the one that happened in Boston at the marathon, even if it leads you to an oncology appointment at Kaiser. No matter where your journey leads you, you can trust God to help you, to watch you, to keep you. This song is an antiphonal song between worshipers on their journey to worship God in Jerusalem. And an antiphonal song is a style in which singers are divided into two or more groups, and they alternate singing. Some call it a call and response. So one group sings one thing, and the other group sings the other thing. So let's just do this right now. We're going to go right down the middle here. I'm going to divide the grants right down the middle. There's a song we used to sing when I was a kid. You guys might know it. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You know that song? What's the answer? Okay, so you guys, go. Hallelujah. Okay, let's time out here. That was a bit lame. Okay, so I'm just saying. So we're Levites on our way to Jerusalem. There's all kinds of activity. Take those kids that were up here saying, Happy Mother's Day, and put that on steroids and multiply it by hundreds. And put in the dogs and the cats and the birds and whatever else, and we're walking up College Avenue. Okay, so one more time. You can do better. Caitlin, start us. You can sing. Hallelujah. You guys outdid yourselves. How did you organize that? Who's the Levite over here? Would you stand, please? Would you stand, Levite? Okay, so this is what a Levite looks like. I don't know how you did it, but you did it. So I would entrust my fifth grader to her, which many of you do. So this is an antiphonal song. So verses 1 and 2, one singer or group of singers are singing this. And then in verses 3 through 8, there's a response by someone else. So I imagine that as large groups of pilgrims are traveling together in their caravans to and from Jerusalem, they sing, they call to one another with an opening statement of trust, which you see in your Bibles in verses 1 and 2, followed by a response of an expanded statement that God will be our help, that He will watch over us, that He will keep us because we can trust Him in verses 3 through 8. So as the travelers anticipate their journey through the mountains up to Jerusalem, they look to the mountains and they ask, you can see it in your Bibles, where does my help come from? The mountains are a place where someone may need help. The pilgrims are intimidated by the mountains because the mountains are often viewed as places of loneliness and abandonment, the hangout of wild animals and scavenger birds and the abode of false gods and robbers and a place where a person could take a step and slip on a rock and sprain an ankle. There are many dangers in the mountains. And on their journey, the travelers feel helpless because they have to cross through the mountains to get to Jerusalem to worship God. So what do they need to remember? The same group answers the question in verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Key word there is help. Help. Help is the cry of a mother who works outside the home and she has four children and a dog and two cats and her husband has been deployed for 7 months. That woman needs help. Help is the cry of a man sitting at a desk with an email inbox full of unpaid bills and six voicemail messages from bill collectors and no job in sight. That man needs help. Help is the cry of a woman who's poured her life into a marriage for 23 years only to have her husband say, I'm leaving, I found someone else. I don't love you anymore. I don't know about you, but I found myself in need of help many times. More than that, I've been in the place where the only one who could possibly help me is the Lord. It is a good thing for us to face our time when our abilities and resources are exhausted. It's good for us to be in circumstances where we have nowhere to turn but to God. Why? Because in those times, we're forced to see the weaknesses and the inadequacies of those things here on earth that we place so much of our trust into and look to for help. Our jobs, our good health, which you know can be taken from you like that. If you had told me 8 months ago that I would have been in as much pain as I have been for the last 7 months, I would have believed it because I've lived long enough now, but it wouldn't have seemed believable. It's like, I feel great. We look to things like our good health, which can go like that, or our bank accounts, or our credit cards in our culture, or our grade point average, or our titles, or our degrees, or our accomplishments, or our creative ideas. Both the person who wrote this song and the people who sang it as one of the songs of ascents were not people who crossed their fingers and somehow they hoped that they would be helped when they were helpless. They could sing without hesitation, my help comes from the Lord. They could assure one another as they traveled together to worship, our help comes from the Lord. They could teach our children, our help comes from the Lord. Now another group of singing travelers on their way to worship, sing in response in verse 3. You can see it in your Bibles. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. So though he is the maker of heaven and earth, God, as great and grand as our great God is, he is the intimate, personal shepherd guardian of Israel. And he never allows her foot to slip. He never sleeps on the job. He's always watching. He's always caring for Israel. Verse 4, indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God is not only Israel's guardian, he is your personal guardian. He's my personal guardian. He's always watching out for you. So may I encourage you, when you crawl into bed tonight, to accept the gift of sleep as a tool of humility. Something my wife and I do every night. We pray that by the grace of God, we will receive his good gift in humility of sleep and entrust our lives, the lives of our kids, our life as a church family together, our world to his sovereign care. And we can do that because he watches and he neither slumbers nor sleep. Every night when you go to sleep, it's a good reminder that you are not self-sufficient, that you are not the creator, that there's only one who will neither slumber nor sleep, and you and I are not the one. Verse 5, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Shade at your right hand. How would you live if you truly believe that you are currently in and have never been out of God's protective shadow, no matter what happens in your life? God is your shade in life. So verse 6 says, you can see it in your Bible, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, last week we had a full moon. It was gorgeous where we were. From ancient times, it was believed that too much exposure to the moon could pose a health threat. That explains a lot of my ailments, I guess. In ancient Babylonian and Assyrian medical diagnostic texts that physicians would study, there are several conditions that are identified as related to the moon, including the patient grinds her teeth, or his hands and feet tremble. Another condition describes epileptic-type conditions. And so English words like moonstruck, have you ever heard that word? Lunatic, have you ever heard that? They come from this perspective on the moon as a heavenly being. So this song declares that we do not have to fear the moon. God will watch over us at all times, day and night, and we do not have to fear the moon. One of my favorite moon stories is a good friend of ours who served with us in a previous church. He had a two-year-old son. He was about two at the time, and he went through a season where he was petrified that the moon was going to fall out of the sky through his roof and onto his bed and crush him. And so whenever I see a full moon, I think of Jackson. I just think Jackson doesn't have to worry. Now he's a teenager, but he doesn't have to worry because the moon is nothing to fear for him. God will watch over us at all times. This song finishes with a blessing where the singers sing that God will continue to watch over your life both now, today, and in the future. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch your life. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. So I have a question for you as you look at Psalm 121. This is a Bible study methods question. What word is used most to describe God's actions in this blessing in verses 7 and 8? And in fact, what word is used most to describe God in the entire song as you look at it? Yes. So I have on the screens the occurrences highlighted. He who watches over you will not slumber. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord will keep you. Same word, just a little different in our English Bible. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. The word that is most used to describe God is watch, watches, or keep. The word describes God as the one who guards you, who keeps you, who protects you. And the main point of this song is that God's keeping love of us is the theme of it, with the grand crescendo coming in verse 8. And so as you think about that, this declaration that God watches over you, that God keeps you, what are we to make of this? Where was God when you weren't protected? Does this song make an ironclad promise of guaranteed, unconditional protection from all harm and all danger? Do the religious pilgrims on their journey to Jerusalem ever, do any of them ever suffer from heat exhaustion and sunstroke? Do they ever fall into the hands of robbers who are hiding in the mountains on the side of the road? Do believers ever suffer from cancer or depression or anxiety or dementia or abuse or car accidents or struggle with relationships? The answer is yes, of course, yes. But the point of this song is that everything that invades our lives is under God's watchful care, whatever it is, under His watchful eye. The point of the song is to invite us to trust God, who is our helper, who's our guardian, who is our keeper, who is the maker of heaven and earth. There are a lot of things that can happen in our lives that we would not choose. A lot of things that have happened in my life that I would not choose. A lot of things have happened in your life that I would not choose for you. But Psalm 121 is not pointing in that direction. The direction that this song is pointing is for us to look to God, our great God, the maker of heaven and earth, and cry out to Him, help me. So when you're in trouble, where do you turn? To whom does your physical body turn when you are in trouble? Where does your heart turn when you are in trouble? Now, this is a song of trust that reminds us that we can trust God on the journey of life. No matter how helpless we may feel, we can rest confidently knowing that God's glory will prevail and that God's justice will ultimately make every single wrong in this world and every single wrong done against you right. This confidence of this song is based on the writer's a big vision of God. And may I submit to you that what we need in our lives more than anything else, for our problems, for our struggles, is a big God. We need a great God. And this song invites us to trust our great God, who is the maker of heaven and earth. God is neither too great and too large to care for you, nor too small and insignificant for Him to notice you. Look to God. Look to God for your help. Pray to Him. Trust God even when you feel helpless. As one writer writes, quote, in your Gethsemane of suffering, pray for deliverance according to God's sovereign power and mercy, but then say, not my will, but thine be done, and believe that what befalls will not in the end be evil for you, but good. Look to God for your help. Pray to Him. Trust Him even when you feel helpless. Some of you this morning are tired. You're tired of being tired. You don't know where to turn, what to do. You're out of ideas. You've done everything you know to do. The invitation from this psalm of ascent is to turn to God. Turn to Him when you feel you're most helpless.